morning. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. At 580 AM KJMJ Alexandria, Louisiana, 1250 AM KDEI Port Arthur, Texas.
Radio Maria now presents our program, The Will of God, with Father Walter Tonoloto. Join us for the next hour as Father Walter discusses the life and spirituality of Luisa Picaretta. Be sure to call in with your questions and comments at 1-866-333-MIR.
Well, hello again. Good morning. This is Father Robert Young. Welcome to all of you, especially those joining us for the first time on this program for The Will of God. This is our eighth week, and we're very happy to be with you and to welcome all of you to, especially in this beautiful season of Lent, to learn more about God's will and in a very special way in these next few weeks, how the Lord Jesus has revealed his will to us through the life, death, and resurrection that he lived for us, and in a special way, the last 24 hours of his passion and death. And so let us begin, as we always do, with a prayer that God would help us to come to know, love, and possess the great gift of his divine will. Father, we are nothing. You are all. We love you, Father. O divine will, continue to think in our mind and flow in our blood, seeing in our eyes and speaking in our voices. Come and listen in our listening, breathe in our breathing, beat in our heartbeat, and move in our movements. Come and suffer in our suffering, and pray in our praying, so that our souls consumed with the divine will might be a living crucifix immolated for the glory of the Father. And since our souls are united to you, dear Lord, let us be your living crucifix in sacrifice for the Father's glory, praying in us, and then by offering this prayer to yourself as ours, it will be as if everyone had prayed, and we will give Father the glory that all souls should give him. Let us ask our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Divine Will, to help us, especially in this Lenten season, to grow in our appreciation and love for her Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So last week we began with some passages from the Book of Heaven about the hours of the Passion, this great work that Luisa wrote. And she wrote it over several years, and then it was published in 1915 for the first time by St. Hannibal de Francia, her confessor and the editor of her writings. I just want to say a little word about it. We're going to be listening to the first of those hours today as kind of our way to begin to appreciate them and understand them. And for those of you who are hearing them for the first time, let me just give a little footnote here, and that is that, you know, Luisa's writing in the early part of the 20th century. It's the time when St. Maria Faustina was writing, when Therese of Lisieux was alive, St. Maximilian Kolbe was publishing his works on the Immaculate Mary. And so it's a time of great devotion in the Church, a beautiful, beautiful era of spirituality. But it's also an era that perhaps could be a little strange to us, because it's perhaps more sweet and devotional than some of us are used to. So I'd just like to encourage you not to let that in any way put you off or discourage you from reading this, because there's a tremendous gift and precious treasure in these hours that the Lord wants to give us. And so we want to be open and allow our minds and hearts to really let the Holy Spirit do the listening and be with us in this. Also, if you're interested in purchasing these Hours of the Passion, I promised you a phone number last time, and I'll give it to you today. I'll start it now and then give it to you again at the end of the program. That phone number is 423-566-5178. That's 423-566-5178. And there is someone there during many hours of the day to promotes the divine will. And so this morning we're going to listen to a couple more passages. I'd like to give a little more introduction to the hours before we actually hear them, start reading them. And that's because there's a great, as I said, a great treasure here, but it's a treasure that may not be immediately recognizable to us. It's not always that immediately visible. And so it's a work of devotion. But beneath this work of devotion, the foundation for it is this great spirituality gift of the divine will, which is the gift God wants to give to us in our day and our time. So we're going to begin with the first passage today from the Book of Heaven. This is from Volume 15. The date for this passage is December 1st, 1922. And today I have with me some of the members of our Divine Will group here in Florida. So I've asked them to come and share this time with us, and they're going to be doing the reading for us from the passages. So Valerie's now going to read for us from Volume 15.
I was thinking about my sweet Jesus' passion, and I began feeling the pain as if he were suffering them. Looking at me, he said, "My daughter, I suffered all my pains in my will. As I suffered them, many paths began opening up in my will in order to reach each creature. If I had not suffered in my will, which envelops everything, my sufferings would not have reached you and everyone else. They would have remained with my humanity. Indeed, by having suffered them in my will, not only did many paths begin to open towards creatures, but many others also opened to permit creatures to come to me and to be united with my suffering, giving me each of the sufferings that, because of their offenses, they have given me throughout the course of history. While the blows were raining down upon me, my will brought to me each creature to strike me, so that it was not only those present who scourged me, but also creatures of all times who participated in my barbarous scourging with their offenses. The same thing happened with all my other suffering. My will brought everyone to me. No one was absent. All were present before me, and none escaped me."
So there we have Jesus talking about his passion. He's teaching Louisa here in Volume 15 about how he suffered in a very particular way in his divine will, which means what was happening interiorly in Jesus. And we know, of course, especially if we've seen the movie The Passion, how terrible that suffering was, perhaps much worse than most of us ever imagined. But what he's saying is that suffering that he bore was not just inflicted by those who were present at that time, but he was bearing the suffering for each and every one of us, that every soul of all time had a part to play in causing that suffering, that passion of Jesus. And so what he's saying to us is that in his will, when we share that with him, we can reverse that part that we played, which was to cause him suffering, and instead, by uniting ourselves in his divine will with him and his humanity, we can instead console him and make reparation for those sins that have caused his great pain, our own sins and the sins of all humanity. And he says that his passion opened paths. Well, if you think of everything that Jesus went through, every act of his life in the divine will was a sense foreshadowing his passion. He tells Louisa that he didn't only suffer 24 hours. He suffered from the very moment of his conception and everything he did. And so that everything, every act opened a path for us to come to him and to be united to him and to find the love and the mercy that we're all so much in need of. As our Lord says in the gospel today, "I didn't come to call virtuous, I came to call sinners." And that's all of us. And so we come to him not because we have any virtue of our own or goodness or because we deserve it, but because of his mercy and his love and his goodness. So we'll continue now with a little more of this passage.
"Oh, my sufferings were much more severe and numerous than the ones that were visible. So if you want the offering of my sufferings, your compassion and reparation, and your own small sufferings to not merely reach me, but to open up the same path as my own, Then make everything enter into my will, and all generations will receive the effect.
So there, again, Jesus is saying, if we enter into his suffering by uniting ourselves with his will, we do what he has done. We live again that passion with him, and we suffer with him. And so this is the great gift of living in the divine will. It's such a mystery for us that in our own little nothingness and our own sinfulness, that God could still use us in this incredible way. And you know, he says, Jesus doesn't say that we have to suffer great things. He says, your little pain, just all the little things that you go through in life. And God knows each one of us has our own little aches and pains and burdens and anxieties and troubles, crosses to bear. But I think so many times we don't really allow those to fly to Jesus, as he says, to be used by him so that they're united with his own cross and resurrection. And therefore we can lose all the value and the merit of that suffering so many times. So Jesus is calling us to live this great gift with him. And in a very particular way, because it's probably one of the most profound ways that we unite ourselves with Jesus, is through the cross, through the passion, through his death. Because that's not the part most of us would choose, is it? I guess most of us don't have a choice too much in our sufferings. We don't go looking for it, maybe like some of the saints did in the past. But at the same time, we can accept what he sends, and when we do so with the right disposition, lots of love, then we do what he did. And he says he uses our suffering with his to save souls and repair for sin and glorify the Father. As I mentioned before, St. Hannibal de Francia has a great part to play in Louisa's life for 17 years as her confessor, but also especially as her editor. He would edit her writings and then publish them. And this was true of the Hours of the Passion as well, when he learned that she had written these, and actually she had memorized them. He encouraged her to put them on paper so that they would not be lost. And so she wrote them, he edited and published them with a very long and beautiful introduction around 1915. So I'd like to read now, this is a passage from the year that he died. He died in 1927. And not too long after he died, that same year, Louisa had several encounters with him in his glorified state. And this is one of them that is recorded from 1927. And John's going to read this for us now. And just listen what a tremendous benefit and grace these Hours of the Passion were for St. Hannibal himself.
After this, I found myself outside of myself. And while looking for my sweet Jesus, I encountered Father de Francia. He was all cheerful, and he told me, "Do you know how many beautiful surprises I found? I did not think it would be so when I was on earth, though I thought I had done good by publishing the Hours of the Passion. But the surprises I found are marvelous, enchanting, of a rarity never before seen, all braided together. And these lights grow more and more as creatures do the power Hours of the Passion. So more lights add to the first. But what surprised me the most were the few sayings published by me about the divine will. Each saving changed into a sun, and these suns, investing all the lights with their rays, form such a surprise of beauty that one remains enraptured, enchanted. You cannot imagine how surprised I was at seeing myself in the midst of these lights and these suns. How content I was, and I thanked our highest good, Jesus, who had given me the occasion and the grace to do it. You too thank him on my behalf."
There you have the words of a canonized saint of the church, and probably the most important confessor in Louisiana. ways of life, did the most to get her writings known and published, and especially the Hours of the Passion. So what he's saying is that every time someone repeats these hours, that we pray them and read them, but he says the lights that are attributed, that are the result of these hours in heaven, grow brighter and multiply. And again, why is that true? Why could that be possible? Certainly not because of our own humanity, but because they're the acts of Jesus himself. That's what Jesus lived through for us. And in the divine will and through the hours of the Passion, we're able to unite ourselves more closely with all that he suffered and all that he lived through for each and every one of us. You know, he says many times, he said it to many saints, he says it to Louisa too, he says, you know, I would have gone through every agony, every part of my life, death and resurrection, just to save one soul, just to save you. And so all of this that he has done for us is certainly there in his humanity, but it's also in his divinity. And so through his divine will, reigning in that human suffering, Jesus is able to make his suffering a grace and salvation for every soul on earth. The great gift, brothers and sisters, that he's offering us is to continue doing that on earth, in his place, if you will, because his glorified humanity is in heaven, but his humanity is also still on earth, in the church, and living in each one of us. So he's asking us, because he knows we can't do it without him or alone, but with his divine will, he's asking us to do it with him. And when we do that, then we fill up, as St. Paul says, what is lacking, not so much in what Jesus has done, but in what humanity, the humanity of Jesus on earth, has not done, to complete his work, to bring it to fulfillment. And that's our role as sons and daughters of the church, and also as members of his body and living in the divine will. So now this third passion, passage is from, actually, it's a passage quoted by St. Hannibal himself in the introduction. And he quotes several passages from the Book of Heaven where Jesus has taught Louisa the meaning of his passion. And this, he quotes from Volume 11, October 13th, 1916. Again, it's part of the introduction that St. Hannibal wrote when he published the Hours of the Passion. So this is a very beautiful, I think, way for us to understand how important this meditation is. That so often, you know, we're happy to meditate on the resurrection. We're happy to meditate on all the healing and the mercy and the love of God. But to meditate on the source of those gifts is to meditate on the Passion. So Stephanie's going to read this now from the introduction by St. Hannibal de Francia, quoting from Volume 11.
While meditating on the Hours of the Passion, my beloved Jesus told me, "My daughter, in the course of my mortal life, thousands and thousands of angels escorted my humanity, gathering everything I did, steps, works, words, sighs, pains, drops of my blood, and bringing them to the Father in heaven. These angels were obedient to my every wish, protected me, and paid me honor. Now these same angels have a special office. As a soul meditates on my life, passion, blood, wounds, and prayers, the angels come to the soul and gather together her words, prayers, acts of compassion, tears, and offerings. Then upon uniting them with mine, they bring the gifts before my majesty, renewing the glory and joy of my life. The delight of these angels is so great that they listen with great reverence to what each soul is saying during the time of the meditation. They also pray with each of them. Thus, with what attention and respect must the soul meditate on these hours, thinking that the angels hang upon her lips, repeating after her everything she says." Then he added, "After the bitter fruits that the creature produces, these hours are like sweet little drinks that the faithful souls bring to me. Yet if compared with the much bitterness provoked by the world, The sweetness of these drinks is indeed very little. Therefore, spread these writings. Spread these writings.
So you have Jesus speaking to Louisa there in the Book of Heaven, and he's commenting on the Hours of the Passion, which Louisa has written. Now, the Hours of the Passion are not dictated, as far as we know, so much by Jesus. He says lots about them, but they are Louisa's meditations on the Passion in the Divine Will, and so they're very much inspired by the teachings of the Divine Will. But they're not dictated to her the way that most of the passages in the Book of Heaven are dictated to her, although he does speak to her at times in these hours themselves and gives her a very clear understanding of just how much he suffered. And also, as St. Hannibal says, he shows the correspondence, say, between a particular suffering and the sin that it makes reparation for example, for all of the sins of thought in our minds. He suffered the crown of thorns and all the wounds inflicted on his head and in his eyes and even in his ears, in his face, that he suffered all that to make up for the sins that we commit in our own thoughts and with our eyes and with our ears. And so what he's saying here, though, is that when we say these, when we pray this way, he says we're offering him, instead of the cup of bitterness, a cup of sweetness. That his humanity that continues to suffer on earth in the church is consoled and it's healed, it's made reparation through these hours. Why? Because in his divinity these hours still go on. The Eucharist is a commemoration of this passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But it also goes on in the church in every moment, in each of our lives. So he says, as we offer that with him, then the effects of his passion are released. They're multiplied again throughout all of the world. Even in creation, feels the effects of these hours of the passion, which help to restore creation to its rightful glory. As St. Paul says, all of creation is waiting and is groaning in agony even until now, waiting for the revelation of the children of God, so that when the kingdom is restored, all of creation shares in it. But in a very special way, of course, it's humanity that he was concerned about and we're concerned about. And so he tells us, as he tells Louisa there, he says, make it known, spread these writings, and that's why we're doing this show or this broadcast, because we want so much for more people, more and more souls to benefit and to know love and possess this great gift of God's will that he suffered to give us through his passion and death. In a minute, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to, as we listen to some music, and again, just to meditate on how much God loves us. And when we return, we're actually going to start reading this great book, The Hours of the Passion, starting with the very first hour, which is at 5 p.m. on Holy Thursday. But before we do that, just to remind us again before the break of how we do an Hour of the Passion. And St. Hannibal says, when we do an Hour of the Passion, when we read it, he says, we're really trying to make it our own life. It's not just an objective kind of meditating on what Jesus did, though that's good. Or it's not just remembering and compassionating. It's living it with him and letting him live it with us. And the last words of St. Hannibal's introduction are very beautiful. He says, one can comprehend then how the hours of the Passion are not just a reading, not even a devotion. They are the formation of life, the very interior life of Jesus himself. And so in this way, day after day, we will feel more and more that Jesus is truly living in us, not just our life, but his very own divine life. So with those words of St. Hannibal at the end of his introduction, we're going to listen now. And meditate a bit more on how much God loves us and how that love is revealed through the hours of his passion. might say, well, goodness, how are any of us able to be this close to Jesus? How could I ever be so intimate with him as somebody like Louisa, such a holy victim soul, or somebody like Saint Faustina or Saint Maximilian Kolbe? How could I ever be able to enter that state? Well, Jesus says many times to Louisa, there's one simple answer. He says, I want your desire. Because if the desire of your own heart, of your own will, is there with me, then he says, I will make the rest happen. So he says, it's your intention that's so important. And, you know, if you think of our acts throughout the day, how often we go through life rather, you know, unaware of what we're doing sometimes, maybe in a kind of mechanical way, or not really fully aware of what we're doing. Jesus says the intention of every act is so important. My desire and your desire to unite ourselves and our wills with God's will is really what makes this possible. And certainly it's all a gift, but it's a gift that depends on our receiving that gift and our disposition to receive it. And so she says, Lord, receive my intention as if I had effectively carried out everything I desired to do, because none of us are perfect. We're human, and in our weakness sometimes we're going to be distracted. We won't feel perhaps physically well. We may not feel a great amount of fervor or devotion. But if we take Louisa's prayer to heart, what she's saying is it doesn't really matter. What matters is our desire to please the Lord and to be one with him. And he says, when that's your desire, I'll do the rest. And then she thanks Jesus for calling her to union with him in prayer. Well, we don't need to say too much about how important prayer is. Prayer is our lifeline. It's our way to be with God. It's to be present to God. And, of course, that needs to be something we don't just do at times, but is something that we're doing continually, unceasingly, throughout our day. And so she says, to please you, Lord, I want to take your thoughts, your tongue, your heart, your intentions, your desires, all of the divine intentions that you had, Jesus, when you suffered for us. I want to take those and make them my own. She says, I want to pray with them. And so as we fuse ourselves in his will and in his love, then we're able to do what he did and do with him, not because we deserve it, but because of his gracious mercy and love for us. And so this fusing in the divine will is where it all happens. Why? Because without the will of God, our human will in its own finite and limited way and fallen way, since Adam and Eve lost the divine will, none of us could ever do this on our own. And so we need the divine will in order to bring with Jesus to completion and with Our Lady all that God has willed from the beginning of time, all that he wanted to give us, all that he wants now to give us again, the great gift of his divine life reigning in us, living in everything that we do. So that's the prayer before each hour. And again, we kind of say that religiously because it's the way that Louisa was inspired to make this meditation. And it's just a very good reminder for us that on our own, we can't do what Jesus did. But by our desire, he comes to do it again in us. So we'd like to begin now. This will be, for some of you, maybe the first time you've heard any of the meditations from the Hours of the Passion. Some of them are short, some of them are long. What we do, especially during Lent, is simply try to do one a day. So, for example, on Ash Wednesday, many of us started with a particular hour, and then we move on to the next one the next day, and we sign 24 people to these hours so that throughout each day, all 24 are being prayed. St. Hannibal calls that a living clock. So it's a way for us to be united, and yet at the same time to to cover all of the full 24 hours of the Lord's Passion. Recently, as we had broadcast a few weeks ago from Alabama, there were a good many of us priests on retreat in the Divine Will, and as a result of that time together, we decided we wanted to make our own living clock. And so with the Poor Clare sisters, we all came together and took an hour, and we began it actually before Lent. We're still going on, and we're inviting people throughout the world, those of you who are familiar with the Divine Will already in the hours of the Passion, to do these with us. And why are we making a point of it now? Well, first of all, the kingdom of God is closer to reigning and his divine will than it has ever been since the fall of Adam and Eve. And so because of Louisa and because God wants this to be known now and to be lived, we want to do all that we can to help bring it about, to bring the fulfillment of the kingdom to earth as in heaven. And the other reason is because as the world gets closer to that kingdom coming to earth, well, there's another kingdom, as you know, that reigns here, and the demons of that kingdom want to do everything in their power to keep it from happening. So we don't have to say much about that, but we all know that as Jesus says, that Satan is ruling the world now and has been since the fall of Adam and Eve. And so our job, our vocation is to live in such a way that we don't contribute to that kingdom, to that reign, but we contribute and participate in the reign of God's will coming now to earth as in heaven. And so it's very important that we do these together, also because, you know, we Christians, even we Catholics, are not always united in our faith. And there are sometimes factions and divisions, even among us who study the divine will. It's all the result of the human will. And so it's very important that we pray in a way that would unite us. And what can unite us more than the will of God and the very suffering of Jesus to make that will reign? So we invite you to if you can, if you already have a copy, to please pray them with us. If not, maybe to try to find one. There are ways we can hopefully find a copy of these Hours of the Passion. And then to read them each day, as I say, nothing is a formula. There's not magic here. We're not bound by any laws or anything like that. We do this voluntarily because voluntarily means according to my will, and the will is the source of love. And so we want to do this with great love and great appreciation for all that Christ and our Blessed Mother have done for us. So this morning we'd like to share with you by reading together the first hour, as much as we can, hopefully we'll finish, with a little commentary. The meditations from the Hours of the Passion probably don't need as much commentary as, say, the Book of Heaven does, or the writings on something like the Eucharist that might be harder for us to understand, although there may be some difficult passages for us in the Hours as well. Basically, it's a very personal. This was Louisa's experience of the Passion, which God wants us to share with her and with him. And so while it's personal to Louisa, it's also universal because it's the divine will that reigns in the Passion of Jesus and that carried out everything he did. So while we read them, we want to do so in a way that's not just about us, even not just about the people we care about, but it's for all souls, because that's the way Jesus suffered and died for us in the universal dimension of his divine will. So the language of a mystic, you know, and especially someone like Louisa who was so in love with the Lord and had her whole life was just so totally dedicated and focused on the Lord, may sound strange to us. And I have to admit, I found some of the language a little different than I was used to when I first read it, especially sometimes for us men, we're not used to that kind of way of relating to the Lord. But I just say this, you know, again, it's partly the time in which she wrote, but also maybe, just maybe, it's a way that God really wants us to relate to Him. Never thought about that, that maybe the problem is my problem, that that I'm afraid to get that close to the Lord. I'm afraid to love Him that intensely and that intimately. And so I just ask you once again to have an open mind and heart, and most of all, to have great love as we listen to these words of the Hours of the Passion. The Hours begin and end with our Blessed Mother. They begin with Mary leaving Jesus, going for His blessing, and leaving Him as He begins the Passion at the Last Supper. And they end with Mary having to leave Him again in the tomb. And so Mary, you know, this is all under her mantle. It's all in her heart. And she's throughout the Hours, but in a special way, she encloses them in this meditation in her own heart, and she wants to enclose them in our hearts as well. So we're going to begin now. This is the meditation of the Hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very first hour, which Louisa wrote, is the 5 p.m. hour when Jesus takes leave of His Most Holy Mother. So Valerie's going to read for us, begin reading for us, this Hour of the Passion.
O Heavenly Mother, the hour of separation draws near, and I come to You. O Mother, give me Your love, Your reparations, and Your sorrows. United with You, I want to follow sweet Jesus, step by step. As He arrives, You run toward Him, and Your soul overflows with love. He looks so pale and so sad that Your heart breaks. You grow weak, and You would like to fall at His feet. Oh, my sweet Mother, do you know why adorable Jesus has come to you? He has come to give you His last farewell, to tell you His last word, to receive your last embrace. Oh, Mother, I hold you tightly with all the tenderness that my poor heart can express, so that holding you tightly, I will also be able to receive sweet Jesus' embraces. Surely you will not reject me. Does it not comfort your heart to have a soul near you who shares your sufferings, your reparations, and your pains? O Jesus, in this hour so bitter for your tender heart, what an example you give us of filial and loving obedience to your Mother. What sweet harmony passes between you and Mary. What a gentle enchantment of love ascends to the throne of the Eternal One and pleads for the salvation of every creature on earth. Oh, my Heavenly Mother, do you know what adorable Jesus wants from you? He wants your last blessing. From every particle of your being, only blessings and praises flow to your Creator. But in taking leave of you, Jesus wants to hear the sweet words, I bless you, O Son. Dad, I bless you. Wards off every blasphemy from His hearing and descends sweetly and gently into His heart. Jesus wants, I bless you, to atone for all the offenses of creatures.
There we have Louisa meditating on our Blessed Mother leaving, taking leave of Jesus as He begins His Passion. That's only, not even half yet of that first hour's meditation. But I just wanted to comment a bit on that. And, you know, sometimes we hear that phrase, I bless you. We receive blessings so often in our lives. We give them. Do we really fully understand what we're saying in that phrase? Do we understand how important it is that we have the desire to bless with God's own blessing? After all, none of us can bless really by our own humanity. It's the divine will that has the capacity, the power to bless us. When a priest gives us a blessing, or a deacon, or a bishop, he's blessing us not with his own power, but with the power given to him by God through the church. But I would also like to say that when a mother blesses her child, or a father blesses their child, they bless with the power and the authority given to them by God as co-creators with Him of that child. And so blessing is so important in our lives, and maybe to think too, you know, do I think that God wants my blessing? Do we bless God? The Jewish people, you know, Israel has a beautiful sense of that blessing of God. Not just to ask always that God bless us, but that we bless God. And that means that we praise, we thank, we love and adore. All of those things are included in our blessing. And the other thing that we're all perhaps too much aware of today is how often the name of God, the name of Christ, the name of our Blessed Mother are disrespected and dishonored by the way we speak. How often is the name of Jesus taken in vain? It's used today almost as an expletive. And so to be aware of that, and even among good people, I find this to be the case sometimes, people who have faith, people who love the Lord, because it's so common in our society. So let's be aware in this season, how do we use our language? How do we speak to God? Are we taking His name? Are we blaspheming in any way the name of the Lord? So we have to be very careful of that, because it says a lot really about what's in our hearts. Jesus says, out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so even though we may love the Lord, we may still not really honor Him the way we should. And so this blessing that Mary comes to give her son and to receive her son, I think is a great inspiration to us, that God wants our blessing, and He wants us to seek it from Him. So now John's going to continue this first hour.
I unite myself to you. Upon the wings of the wind, I want to travel through heaven. I want to ask the Father, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels to bless you for Jesus, so that going to Him, I can bring their blessings. I want to go to all creatures here on earth and ask from every heartbeat, step, breath, glance, thought, and word, blessings and praises for Jesus. And if anyone does not want to give them to me, I will do it for him. Oh, sweet mother, I have gone around and around to ask the Most Holy Trinity, the angels, all creatures, the sunlight, the fragrance of the flowers, the waves of the sea, every breath of wind, every spark of fire, every leaf that moves, the twinkle of the stars, and every movement of nature for, and I bless you. Now I come to you and add my blessing to yours. My sweet mother, I see that you are comforted by them, and I offer Jesus all my blessings to atone for the blasphemies and curses that he receives from creatures. But while I offer you everything, I hear your trembling voice saying, Son, bless me too.
So Louisa's blessing Jesus together with Mary. And remember that Mary had a special grace to bless Jesus as his mother, certainly, but also because the divine will reigned in her perfectly from the moment of her conception. So because she had the divine will, she possessed it, she could bless Jesus in a way that was really the very blessing of God himself. It was a divine blessing. And that's what we can do ourselves with the gift of the divine will. We can say, Jesus, I bless you with the blessing of the Father. And she says she went to the Most Holy Trinity to ask for their blessing. Jesus, I bless you with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I bless you with the blessing of your own dear mother. I bless you with the blessing of St. Joseph, of the angels. And then she says she even goes to all the creatures, even the inanimate creatures, the sunlight, the flowers, the sea, the wind, the fire. Sounds a lot like St. Francis, you know, blessing God and all of our brothers and sisters in creation. Why? Because to some extent the divine will is in all of them. God created them. He created them in his will for us. And he tells Louisa everything was given for us. And so when she wants to give this blessing, she wants to give it on behalf of all of creation. in the divine will, in this way of life, we call these the rounds, where we go to all of our brothers and sisters and the whole universe, the human ones as well as the inanimate and the animals and the plants. And we want to place an I love you and I bless you on every one of them. That's what Louisa is doing here. We call those the rounds, which we'll talk about a little more someday. And so Louisa says, Lord, I just want to come and add my own blessings to that of your dear mother. She says, Mother, I see that you are comforted by having someone to bless Jesus with you. I guess sometimes we might think that, you know, well, they're in heaven. They don't need us. They don't need our company. But certainly God doesn't need our company, but he desires our company. Mary doesn't need it either, but she desires it as our mother. And so they want us to accompany them with our blessings. And so Louisa ends this by saying, but while I offer you everything, I hear your trembling voice. And she says this to Mary, saying, Son, bless me too. That Mary's going to ask. Speak to one another. And so we'll continue now. Stephanie's going to continue with this passage of the very first of the hours.
Oh, my sweet love, bless me with your mother. Bless my thoughts, my heart, my hands, my steps, my deeds, and with your mother, all creatures. Oh, my mother, you gaze upon the sorrowful face of Jesus, so pale, sad, and tormented, and you envision the sorrow that he will soon have to suffer. You see his face covered with spit, and you bless it. You see his head pierced by thorns, his eyes blindfolded, his body tortured by whips, his hands and feet pierced by nails. Everywhere he is about to go, you follow him with your blessing. And now I too will follow him with you. When Jesus is struck by whips, pierced by nails, slapped and crowned with thorns, he will find my I bless you everywhere with yours.
And this is actually, again, as Louisa's with Mary doing all of this in the divine will, this is a good example, too, of what we would call a round of redemption. The first with creation, when she asked all the creatures to bless God with her, is a round of creation. Now we would say she's actually asking dear Mary to bless everything, to join her in blessing everything that Jesus did, so that in every way that he suffered, in his face, as it was covered with spit, that we would offer a blessing instead. And that is really what these hours are about. For every act that Jesus suffered, we offer an act of reparation. We offer a thank you. I love you. I bless you. I adore you. And so that everything that Jesus did was for us, and we want to now do all that we can with him to make reparation for what he had to suffer on our behalf. So Louisa says, everywhere he is about to go, Mary follows him with her blessings. And she says, now I want to do that as well. That everywhere Jesus goes, we want to follow him with our blessing. And where does Jesus go? He goes wherever we go. So every act that we do and every moment that we live, hopefully, will be a blessing to Jesus. That doesn't mean we can be, conscious, of course, 24 hours a day of doing that. But he says, if that's your intention and your desire as you begin the day and end the day, then he said, I'll receive it as though you had done that. As Louisa says at the beginning, I can't say all the hours every day. I'd be reading continually. So she says, receive my intention as though I had done it. Well, it's the same here as we follow Jesus throughout the day. Whenever we can, we take a moment to bless him and thank him, love him, adore him, for all that he is and all that our Holy Trinity has done for us. And so she says that when Jesus then finds himself, as he is so often, neglected or abused or insulted, world today, that in place of that, we will offer in reparation an act of blessing, an act of love. And so, as we're entering the last few moments of this program, we're going to just go ahead and continue reading to the end of this hour. And we may not have time to do the hour, the prayer at the end of it, but we can teach that next time. But now, Sherry's going to continue reading as we finish this beautiful hour, the 5 p.m. hour, where Mary leads her son.
Oh, Jesus, oh, Mother, I suffer with you. In these last moments, your sorrow exceeds all bounds, and your hearts wound each other with their mutual love. Oh, Mother, tear my heart from the earth and bind it to Jesus, so that I may stay close to him and share in your sorrow. While you kiss, embrace, and look into each other's eyes for the last time, may I not hide between your hearts and share in your goodbyes? Don't you see that I cannot live without you, in spite of my misery and indifference? Jesus, Mother, keep me close to you. Give me your love and your will. Pierce my poor heart with arrows and hold me in your arms. With you, O sweet Mother, I want to follow Jesus step by step to give him comfort, relief, love, and reparation for everyone. O Jesus, with your Mother, I kiss your left foot, and I beg you to give me and all creatures for the many time to forgive me and all creatures for the many times we have not walked toward God. I kiss your left, right foot. Forgive me and everything and everyone for the many times we have not sought the perfection that you desired for us. I kiss your left hand. Communicate your purity to us. I kiss your right hand. Bless all my heartbeats, thoughts, and affections, so that all may be confirmed by your blessing and all may be sanctified. Bless all creatures with me and seal the salvation of their souls with your blessing. O Jesus, I embrace you with your Mother, and kissing your heart, I beg you to place my heart between both of yours. May it be continually nourished by your love, by your sufferings, by your own affections and desires. Indeed, by your very own life, so be it.
Amen. So that's the end of the first hour. That gives you an idea. That's probably about one of the average lengths. There are some glory bees to the Holy Trinity that we did not include simply because we're almost at the end of our hour. But they're very beautiful there to glorify the Holy Trinity with Mary for all of the acts of Jesus as she's praying and kissing she's kissing the feet of Jesus and his hands as a way to honor him and bless him. And so again, we have these beautiful hours. That's number one of the 24. After each hour, later on, St. Hannibal asked that Louisa would write a reflection, which is kind of a practical application for each hour. And so we asked that you would try to read these reflections at the end of each hour. But sometimes we may not be able to. But in any case, we want to reflect as much as we can on how God is calling us to live this great gift, not just to pray it, but to live it. And then at the end of each reflection, at the end of the hour, we would also have a prayer of thanksgiving. And so that prayer, we won't have time for today, but we're at the end of our hour. But we'll be continuing with these hours next week again with more commentary and some introduction. So we just want to thank all of you for joining us today and want to ask that the Lord would bless each and every one of you in this glorious season of Lent, Easter, that God would be preparing your hearts to receive this gift in however he wills. And that our Blessed Mother especially would be with you to help you, guide you, console you, and teach you herself these beautiful lessons that she has received to give us. So may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always in God's most holy will. God bless you all, and hopefully we'll meet again next week. Goodbye.
To Radio Maria at 580 AM, KJMJ, Alexandria, Louisiana, 1250.